Welcome on in. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas, Joe Giglio, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Yes, clap your hands, everybody, because the Philadelphia 76ers just got one of the best players in the NBA in one of the most shocking trades I can ever remember. Hugh, good morning. We're live today, Citizens Bank Park. We'll take you right up to the Phillies game. But on July 2nd, we start with your Sixers, who last night, I thought it was fake. I'm going to be honest with you. I thought it was fake when I was sent that. I was like, it's not real. Jaylen Brown to the Sixers for Paul George, 2 firsts and 2 seconds. How the hell did we get Jaylen Brown? What a day for the Sixers. What a day for Philadelphia. Good morning, Hugh.
Good morning, Joe. Good morning, Kyle. Good morning, Philadelphia. First of all, stay cool. It's hot.
You did tell someone to stay hot earlier.
Yeah, I did. I messed that up. Stay cool because it's warm. It's warm. I'm with you, Joe. When I first saw it, I started looking all over the internet because this is one of those – I thought it was a troll job. I really, really did. And when you saw what they gave up to get him, I was like, oh, this can't be real. So then you sit back and you wait for the vetted names, the guys that you trust when it comes to information like this. And when the story started trickling down, my first thought was, it's amazing how we just had a conversation yesterday talking about playoff odds or contention odds. And we were trying to rank the teams in the city and who had the odds to contend this year. And the Sixers have jumped past everybody when you talk about the chances that they have. And we were talking about it yesterday, talking about trading Joel Embiid and all the messed up contracts that
we had.
Trying
to get out from under this stuff.
Yes,
yeah.
And we get rid of Paul George. Now having Joel Embiid here, if we can find somebody that could just take some of the minutes away from him and have him still out there in a limited role, you got a shot.
Well,
you have a legit shot.
The Sixers, once you're right, Hugh, in 215-592-9494 to join us to react. Your reaction to the Sixers landing Jaylen Brown. Let's just put in perspective what happened last night. The Sixers traded Paul George, who was a negative asset at this point, old, broken down, not that good of a player anymore, and 2 first-round picks. I don't even care about the second-round picks. Paul George in 2 ones for Jaylen Brown, an all-NBA second team, all-NBA player.
Yeah, not that far removed from winning the championship.
Yes, finals MVP. And, you know, we always have fun with a Super Bowl MVP and that debate. You look in the history of basketball, finals MVPs are Hall of Famers. I mean, but basically all of them make the Hall of Fame. This is a tremendous player. He's a 5-time All-Star. He was 6th place in NBA MVP votes for the full season. They didn't have Tatum for the full year, right?
Yeah, and it was
until
him.
The end. It was him leading the charge. They finished 2nd in the Eastern Conference. This guy is a tremendous basketball player. You know, whether or not he's top 5, 10, 15, he's really good, right? He's conservatively a top 20 player. I would say closer to top 15 in the world.
Yeah.
And they got him. I mean, you told me they were going to trade Paul George, I would have said they probably have to attach a first-round pick just to get off him. So if you kind of use that math, what did they trade for Jaylen Brown? A first? What really did they trade for Jaylen Brown? I am shocked the Sixers were able to make this deal. 215-592-9494. So two things immediately jump to mind. One, the Sixers have reopened this window of contention that looked like it kind of closed in recent years.
Yes.
To where they were in the playoffs, but no real chance to do anything deep in the playoffs. They have reopened that. The second thing I thought of immediately is, Hugh, this is probably the most out of nowhere great Philadelphia sports acquisition since Cliff Lee came back to the Phillies in late December 2010. Like, just out of nowhere. Usually this stuff has legs. It has rumors. You know, we talk about it for a couple weeks, and then maybe something happens, you know, when one of these big acquisitions happens. Hugh, there was zero. When I say zero, if you had asked me yesterday, what are the chances that the Sixers trade for Jaylen Brown? Like, if we had a caller say that yesterday, like, let's just put this out there. If a caller called into our show, Hugh, and proposed the trade that went down last night, we probably would have laughed at them.
Yeah.
Like, there's no – I mean, come on.
That's why – you know what? And that goes in the vein of, you know, like when you were talking about, you know, getting Ranger back here, wrong her, and all the other stuff. That's why no trade is too crazy, because you just never know what somebody's thinking. Because when you look at that, when you look at that trade from last night, and you talk about what was given up and what you got back, most people – if they say you're lying. I can't believe that.
Of course.
And then everybody else say, you know – the Celtics got fleeced. Reminds me when Luka Doncic, when he went from the Mavericks to the Lakers. So it's one of those things where even though it might sound far-fetched to you, hey, throw it out there. You never know what's going
to
happen.
Well, the Sixers did that. Credit to them. Credit to Mike Gansey. Bob Myers obviously running this front office now.
Look at Mike Gansey come in making moves.
Woo! I mean, this is a move that changes the Sixers' present and future. 215-592-9494 for your reaction to the Sixers trading for Jaylen Brown last night. The other thing I thought of, Hugh, as soon as the trade went down, and this is going to sound strong, but I think it's true. I think this is the best player the Sixers have traded for since Moses Malone. I mean, the Sixers made some big moves over the years, right?
They've gone for Mutombo.
Well, they got Mutombo, and that's close. I think Jaylen Brown is a better player than Mutombo. Now, Mutombo's great. Mutombo's in the Hall of Fame.
You're talking about in the prime, in his prime,
and
too.
Mutombo was a great defensive player, right? Yeah. Jaylen Brown is more of an all-around player and obviously could put the ball in the basket. Mutombo is a big one, and that helped that team. James Harden was on the way down when they traded for him. Like, Harden was more accomplished. He won an MVP. But I think this version of Brown is better than that version of James Harden back in 22. You could throw Jimmy Butler in there, you know, but he was only here for a few months, basically. Yeah. He was a free agent to be. I think this is the best player under contract that they've traded for since Moses Malone. Like, this is a franchise-altering trade they made yesterday, and one that not a single soul in this city saw coming.
No, no question about that. And I'll tell you another thing. It feels to me like there's a chance that he might light a fire under Joel Embiid, because I can't wait to his press conference. And one of the reporters, I'm thinking it's going to be Dave Uram.
The Bulldog.
Ask him about his comments about Joel Embiid and about Joel Embiid flopping and all that other stuff. And I wonder how he's going to respond to that, given now that he's his teammate. And in order to get him going, I mean, I think that reality has to be, thrown out there. And it may hopefully to make Joel Embiid a better player.
Well, hopefully. And look, the reality of this is this. The Sixers have now created a trio, Hugh, that doesn't involve Joel, that are going to lead this team. Like, and Joel now can settle into a different stage of his career where if he just plays a role, they can win a lot of games. I mean, Maxey and Brown are their best players now, right?
Yeah.
Maxey and Jaylen Brown are their best players, and Edgecombe is rising pretty fast to maybe be on their level. Joel can be looked at in a different way now. Like, they don't need him to carry them at all anymore.
So exactly.
Be healthy, rebound the basketball, play some defense, and let those guys carry the load. 215-592-9494. Let's hear how this thing went down. Shams last night on what the Celtics originally wanted. And credit to the Sixers for kind of shaking them down and holding them until they accepted the deal that they were offering. Here's Shams last night.
Sixers president, new president, Mike Gansey, reached out to the Celtics, made offers in recent weeks. It's been quite some time where these talks seem to have a level of traction, because the Celtics has such a high bar on a deal, right? They were thinking, if you're going to trade us Paul George, we need 4 firsts, 5 firsts. We need a player like a VJ Edgecombe. That was the bar that was set early. So there were other teams around the league that might have stopped conversations or moved on to do other deals, but the Sixers stayed with it. Stood around, stayed at the party. They didn't have Irish goodbye. They didn't leave early. They stuck around. And at the end of it, they were the last team standing today. So staying engaged, staying with it, that paid dividends for the Sixers. Now, when you think about it, and Perk makes that point, when you can get a 30-year-old player who's probably got 4 to 6 years left in his prime, potentially at this level, with a 20s Tyrese Maxey, with a 20s VJ Edgecombe, that is scary for the rest of the Eastern Conference.
Well, it is. And for the Celtics, for that, Hugh, I just keep coming back to, what are the Celtics thinking? How did they get to the point where they sold Jaylen Brown for this package? I mean, if you had asked me 6 weeks ago what they could get for Jaylen Brown, I don't know. I would have said 5 first-round picks, or I would have said another comparable all-star player around the same age, or something in that vein. 36-year-old Paul George and 2 first-round picks? It doesn't make any sense.
You know what I think, as I recklessly speculate?
Oh, I like this.
Somebody called in a marker. Like, just like the Luka Doncic situation, somebody called in a marker. Somebody had a favor. Somebody had some pictures or something that they didn't want out there. Then they say, hey, bro, it's time. It's time. I need this favor. And give me, and it was like, hey, give me what you got. And that's how it went down. Because you talk about all the other teams. When you talk about being traded, Jaylen Brown's name was mentioned a lot early on. Mm-hmm. And like they were talking about, nothing happened. And he found out that they were trying to get Antetokounmpo.
Yep.
And it didn't happen. So now you're calling in like, I guess the well ran dry. I don't know why, but I guess nobody thought that it could do it. So somebody called in a marker. I think that's what this was. Somebody called in a marker.
The weird part is we all think the Celtics are smart. So either they got dumb overnight, or maybe there's more to it. I don't know if it's a financial thing. I don't know what it is. My eyes tell me Jalen Brown's an excellent basketball player, and the Sixers just improved themselves exponential. Let's hear Brian Windhorst yesterday on what the heck the Boston Celtics are doing.
The league speculation, it's not reporting, but I don't dispute it, is that this was a trade that was made under duress. That this was not a trade that you would make in a clinical setting. Not a trade, you know, there's no deadline. Didn't have to do it by the end of July 1st. That you wouldn't do this trade under these circumstances if everything was equal, that something wasn't equal.
The duress gets me there. Right? I mean, what does that mean? Like, was he about to request a trade, and then they just wanted to get this
ugly.
Done quickly?
You know,
jeez.
You know, with the way things are going, you know, people getting kidnapped and whatnot, maybe his pops rolled up in there. You know, his dad used to be a boxer. So maybe his dad rolled up.
Oh, you're rolling
Sixers.
With full reckless speculation.
Oh, yeah, straight up. And his dad told
him. His dad threatened Brad Stevens?
He probably did. I mean, you know, I don't know that for sure, but it feel. But when you think about the way that this went down, doesn't it feel like something happened and they felt like we had to do this right away?
It does feel like there's something, there's a missing piece to this puzzle. Like,
yeah.
How did we get this player for this package? My hope, and my hope is for the Sixers, that it is a financial, it's either a financial thing or the relationship up there deteriorated so much that they just had to move on. You know, so they weren't really worried about the best value. They just wanted him out of there.
Yeah.
That's my hope. Now, is there any piece of me that wonders if they know something we don't know? I mean, we've been down this road with the Celtics before, the Markelle Fultz trade, where they knew something we didn't know, and it turned into a disaster. My brain is telling me it's a great trade for the Sixers, and they're in a great spot now.
Wait a minute. You feel like something going on with Jalen?
What? I mean, don't you wonder why they traded him for this little?
Not that, Joe. I mean, I don't want to be in your head, but it
feels... A part of me wonders, why did they do this?
Come on.
How did we get this player? It is amazing. All right, let's also hear from Kendrick Perkins, who was, he didn't hold back on his thoughts on the deal. Perk.
It was one of the dumbest trades in NBA history. And Mike Gansey, Jameer Nelson, Bob Myers, they should be serving breakfast in bed to Brad Stevens. I'm talking about cut-up fruit, seedless grapes, mint tea, toast with strawberry jam, because they finessed the hell out of him. And this is just sad all across the board.
That might be my new favorite go-to. The seedless grapes, cut-up strawberry jam.
I mean, because the visual that he painted is like, yeah, because you did look out. Like, you looked out. And when somebody looks out for you like that, and you know you got looked out for, you do go above and beyond.
But why would Brad Stevens look out for the Sixers? How did they get Jalen Brown?
Called in a favor.
215-592-9490. For your reaction to the Jalen Brown trade, he is now a part of the Sixers, along with Tyrese Maxey, Vijay Edgecombe, and Joel Embiid. And Hugh, I mean, our mind now has to wonder, right? There was a report yesterday that the Sixers have reached out to LeBron James. Tony Jones of The Athletic. I mean, LeBron, yesterday there was a report that he wants to go to a contender. He wants to win. It isn't necessarily about money at this point. He's made hundreds of millions, billions.
Something about taking the minimum?
Well, I'm just saying, if it's about basketball now, right, if it's just about competing, there is a spot on the floor for a point forward that certainly, from a basketball perspective, Hugh, it fits. I don't know if he wants to come to Philadelphia. It fits
like a glove. If LeBron's thinking about coming here, don't ask to go to the game with me now. Because, you know, everybody – now, this is the time. Jalen Brown yesterday moved the meter.
Yes.
I'm pretty sure the phone has been ringing off the hook for Sixers tickets this year. I know security's probably going to be tight. Now, if LeBron comes here now, that's something totally different. That's something totally different.
Well, and it puts the Sixers in a different stratosphere. 215-592-9490 for your reaction to it all. Kyle, where you at as the Sixers trade Paul George, a pair of ones, a pair of twos, for Jalen Brown?
So I don't know if this is my fault for being who I am or if it's the Sixers' fault for doing this to me, but it's such a good trade that my first thought is, like, what's the catch here?
Yeah, that's basically.
Well, wait, what, huh?
Because I can't think of a flaw in the deal. I mean, you get rid of Paul George. You get an MVP candidate who is, you know, essentially in his prime.
Yep.
And you get him from your rival that you just beat in the playoffs. I don't understand why Boston would do this unless it's, you know, for the reasons you laid out, like they're starting to be stingy with money or something. I I have no idea, but it doesn't, it something doesn't sit right with me that we just made a trade with the Celtics, a blockbuster trade with the Celtics, and everybody is just going, well, the Celtics got fleeced. I mean, when does that ever happen? And when does it ever happen by the Sixers? Like, the Sixers are not the front office that's creative and bending people over like Howie Roseman does. Like, that's usually the Celtics, where you're like, don't trade with Boston. So, like, I guess it's like too good of a trade that makes me wonder, like, oh, what's going on here? I don't know, but like, I'm floored by the whole thing. And I got to tell you, like, maybe the most excited I've been for a Sixers season in a long time.
Well, now for the first time, Hugh, they have two or and maybe three. We'll see how quickly Edgecombe grows into the player I think a lot of people think he could be. Mm-hmm. But they have at least two players that can carry them that are not named Joel Embiid. And that's different than we've ever had. Like, it's always had to be somewhat Joel, and maybe they have another guy, like Maxey developed, or they had Harden, or whatever, right? Now they have two. Like, if Joel Embiid just sat on the bench the whole season, they'd still be a playoff team.
Like, yeah.
Now, obviously, their ceiling, if he can play and play his best, is a different level.
And then you also have a mechanism now where you can rest Joel Embiid. You could
of course.
You could save him for the rest of the season. You could just pay him sparingly, if you will, and get the most out of him by letting him rest and just putting him out there in the games periodically. Yeah.
I thought we were headed towards purgatory. I thought the next couple of years were going to be running out the clock on George and Embiid. I thought there was zero chance this team would compete, you know, for anything serious. And that changed yesterday with the trade for Jaylen Brown. And I know there are some people out there who say maybe he's a little overrated. Maybe he's not quite as great as you think he is. That's fine. He's a really excellent basketball player that's had a heck of a career. I mean, his career is on the path to the Hall of Fame. He's already made 5 All-Star games, and he's been an All-NBA player and an MVP. You know, he's got MVP votes and a Finals MVP. This guy is an awesome player. And he's now a Sixer. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to it all. Charles in Bluebell starts us off here on WIP. Charles, good morning.
Charles.
All right. What's up, guys? Listen, yesterday, we will never forget yesterday. Think about it. You have a tale of two cities. What's going on? The excitement in Philadelphia, the dread in Boston. And then the city in the middle, New York City, who can't believe we got Jaylen Brown. And then in New York City yesterday, two idiots decided to climb the Empire State Building.
Yeah, I forgot about that one.
Yeah, he was showing me that yesterday.
That was crazy. You know,
yes, it was. That was insanely crazy. But, you know, the Knicks already know, you know, Philly's gotten better. Toronto's gotten better. Miami's gotten better. They know the Knicks, the championship is just a one-year rental for them. You know, we are back in contention, at least for the Eastern Conference Finals, and we do have to build with the team a bit.
Well,
thanks,
we
guys. Do. You got to get some bench players. Yeah, you got to get some bench.
They have more work to do, and Charles, we appreciate the call. They have more work to do, Hugh, but it is becoming now, it does feel like the NBA, what are we on, 7 or 8 straight years of a new champion? It feels like you have your time, you have your year, and then it's someone else's turn. That's the new NBA.
Yeah.
I think part of it is teams can't afford to keep their team together, and maybe that's why. Maybe, my gut's telling me that the main issue with the Brown thing in Boston is I think their new owners are cheap, and I think they looked at the future tax penalties, and they're like, let's just get out of this now. What I can't wrap my mind, like, it is defensible to trade Jaylen Brown. You can trade anyone, right? Players get traded.
Yeah.
But the risk. The fact that they traded him for Paul George and these picks, that I can't wrap my mind around. And credit to Mike Gansey, credit to the Sixers, Jameer Nelson, obviously Bob Myers to top it all, Hugh, for being the team that did it. And that first cut we played where the asking price was Maxey and VJ and 4 first-round picks, for them to like kind of just hold on, wait,
be
patient, hold the line, to where yesterday they were like, yeah, I guess we'll take Paul George in 2-1.
Yeah, because I feel like on Jaylen Brown's, on his side, they probably just got to the point where they just got tired of it. It probably was on the brink of getting real ugly.
And he does seem like he has a personality that maybe could be a little bit wearing on a team.
Well, smart dude, man. No,
strong-willed
individual. Yeah, no question about that.
Isn't that part of the reason he's probably become the player he is?
Yeah, because he's strong-willed and he's a smart cat. So, yeah, they didn't want to deal with him.
My goodness. What a day for the Sixers yesterday. 215-592-9494. We'll get everyone's phone call up on the other side. Your reaction to the Jaylen Brown trade. The Sixers landed Jaylen Brown for Paul George. Pair of ones, a pair of twos. Is it an incredible trade? I think it's the best player the Sixers have traded for, have acquired, non-draft, since since Moses Malone. I mean, we could debate the Harden thing. We could debate Jimmy Butler. I think this version of Brown is better than any player the Sixers have acquired since the day they brought Moses in. 215-592-9494. That's how you hot board are coming up. Your calls, and we got to let you hear some of the reaction up in Boston, Hugh. As much as we react, and we will have a great time reacting over the next week or so here in Philadelphia, to hear the pain in the voices of those up in Boston, you're not going to want to miss this. That's coming up next, Midday Show on Sports Radio 94 WIP. The world's biggest soccer tournament is heating up in the U.S. Congratulations, of course, to United States
America.
Last night. What a big win, and they're on to the final 16. And, of course, we are now in the knockout range and knockout of the tournament. And the United States won last night on Calcio. You could trade every match from the opening stage all the way to the final. Look, we have to look at the U.S. and where they're at right now. They have a 4% chance to win it all, which means a $100 trade on the U.S. to win it all pays out $2,179. On Calcio, you're trading its peers in a live market, meaning there's no house. And as the probability changes, you could buy in and out of your position for limited time. Download the Calcio app. Use code GIGLIO to get $10 when you trade 10. K-A-L-S-H-I. Calcio. Trade the beautiful game. 18 plus only. Restrictions and eligibility requirements apply. Event contract trading involves risk and may not be suitable for all investors. Prices, values, and available markets may differ from those mentioned. For more information, see calcio.com/regulatory.
I mean, this is my personal opinion on basketball. Some of y'all might disagree. You know what I mean? But argue with your grandma. Flopping has ruined our game. Joel Embiid is a great player, one of the best bigs in basketball history. Flops. He know it. This ain't breaking news. This ain't, you know what I mean? It is what it is.
Well, and now they're teammates. Welcome back. It is the Midday Show. Hugh Douglas.
Argue with your grandma.
Joe Gilly, you guys with us. 215-592-9494. Yeah, that'll be a fun question. I'm sure he gets his introductory press conference, which I expect would be next week. This is not the kind of trade you just like, oh, yeah, we'll see you in October or September for training camp.
Because we're getting ready for the weekend. It's about to be turned up in the city.
Yeah, this one should have a press conference next week. I can't wait. I can't believe the Sixers landed a player this good for that package. It is incredible. 215-592-9494. All right, let's quickly play a couple of clips of reaction from Boston, then we'll get to everyone's phone calls because you're going to want to hear this. You're going to want to hear the pain in their voices. Let's start Tony Maserati, 98.5, up in Boston. Hugh, here is him breaking the news and giving his initial take as the Celtics trade away Jaylen Brown.
Let me begin right here. I hate it. I hate it. I hate it with a freaking passion. This was a salary dump or a contract dump, or define it however you want. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. This is a ridiculous trade. Paul George is 36 years old, and to save 1 year of money, 1 year of money, Jimmy, is what you're telling me, that George is getting paid for the next two.
Yep.
Is there any sort of player option or anything after that?
Not that I'm seeing.
So the Celtics just traded a guy that they took with the number three pick in the draft, who's been here 10 years, who's MVP of the NBA Finals, wingman to Jason Tatum, if not his equal, pretty damn close. And they traded him to the Philadelphia 76ers for a 36-year-old guy who looks like he's getting near the end. There was a little bit of a resurgence there in the postseason. But a guy who's been a failure pretty much everywhere he's gone since he left Indiana. Two firsts and two seconds. I hate it.
Hugh, I think he hates it.
With the fire of a thousand suns, Joe.
Well, so that was their afternoon show. Let's hear their evening host, Joe Murray, last night, who was even more colorful in his description of the trade.
This was Jaylen effing Brown. NBA Finals MVP. All-star. One of the top 10 players in the league. A guy that was the alpha on the team. And you let him go for what? For what? Future money? You didn't have to trade him. You could have played at least till the trade deadline. See how it works. You could have moved them then. Nope. You moved them today for Paul George and two bad first-round picks and second-round picks. You had multiple options on how to handle Jaylen Brown, who, by the way, reportedly has never asked for a trade. If you wanted to move Jaylen Brown, you didn't have to do it today. You could have done it midseason. You could have done it before the trade deadline. You could have done it next season. You had 3 years to potentially do this, and you chose today, and you chose the 76ers, and you chose Paul George? This is a horrific trade. This is an absolute dump. You dumped one of the best players that you have seen in this organization.
I can't remember a trade, at least recently. You mentioned the Luka one. That's an interesting comp. But I like locally with one of our teams, Hugh, that on one side, the team that we acquired the player from, everyone's mad. Like every Celtics fan you hear, like those two, are losing their minds. And every Sixers fan is maybe there's a little like, hey, what's the other side of the story here? But for the most part, it's like, this is amazing. Like it seems so straightforward that they're upset and we're happy. And trades like that don't – usually you can kind of see the middle ground in both in a trade. Mm. Nobody sees it in this one.
Yeah, like I said, to me it's the Luka Doncic situation. It's the same thing.
But who called the favor? In the Sixers?
I think they did. I think they called in a marker. I mean, that's the only thing that makes sense. It's one of those things where you heard rumors about them thinking about moving on from Jalen. And for us to get him, it had to be a favor. It had to be.
My theory is the ownership in Boston, it just doesn't want to pay the tax anymore, and they're capped out, and they just want to get ahead of this. But they made a bad trade. Like, there's two parts of it. One, I think there's a reason they did it. Then the second part is, I just think they made a bad trade. I mean, this trade is a joke for the Celtics, and it looks like it could be franchise-changing for the Sixers. Jeff in Wilmington's up. Let's react as the Sixers land Jaylen Brown from the Celtics. What's up, Jeff?
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Hey, Jeff.
So, I think Hugh was right. Hugh, you're right on this. There had to be I don't know all the ins and outs of the NBA trading and all that stuff. But didn't they offer him up, Jaylen up, in another trade and the other team turned him down?
So they kinda had
to do something.
Yeah, the one that was out there a few weeks ago was when they were trying to get Giannis before Giannis landed in Miami, that they were willing to trade Jaylen. Like, and I can understand why their fans up there are losing their minds, right? Like, 2 weeks ago, it's like, would you trade him for Giannis? And now they ended up trading him for Paul George and a couple first-round picks.
That's where I think the Sixers took advantage of a situation where they're like, oh, well, they definitely want to get rid of him. So that gives us the advantage. Maybe we don't have to give up as much if they were looking to get rid of the guy. I don't know why they would. He seems like a pretty good player. So
he's an excellent
player. Did I hear that one guy in that soundbite say Joel Embiid is the best big man ever, or did he say one of the best?
No, Jaylen Brown said that. I think he said one of the best.
That was Jaylen Brown, yeah.
Yeah, when he was talking about
one of. Okay, that's true. One of the best, definitely.
Yep.
Not the best, for sure.
Right. Yeah, he's not that delusional. Yeah. But now, hey, I mean, now they're teammates.
So, are we going to make a play for LeBron?
Yes. You know what, Jeff?
And we should.
You know what, Jeff? That's what everybody's thinking. Nobody wants to say it because they don't want to jinx it. But, you know, that might be the one. We're just waiting to see what happens.
I would. I mean, why not? If it's not going to cost much, if it's just a signing, a free agent signing, well, I would, man. What the heck?
Well, of course, I mean, from a basketball perspective, it's perfect now, right? You have your two guards. You have your three in Brown. Obviously, LeBron could play the four, and then you have Embiid. I mean, Jeff, good phone call. Yes. Hugh, I do have – do you want to hear the Kalshi percentages on LeBron's next team?
Yeah, let me see them. Let me hit them. Let me go ahead.
All right, the favorite, the highest percentage, 38%, the Cleveland Cavaliers, as he would go home again. Mm-hmm. Next up, the Golden State Warriors at 31%, then the Miami Heat at 16%, and then fourth, Hugh, on the list of LeBron's next team, your Philadelphia 76ers.
Hey, it might happen.
Well, I mean, look, I'll put it this way. It's still probably a long shot, but 6% isn't 1%. Like, they are fourth on the list. And Tony Jones for The Athletic last night reported that the Sixers have reached out to LeBron James. If his goal, like, I don't know what he wants, right? I don't know if he wants to just go home, if he wants to play with Steph, if he wants to do a documentary. I don't know what his objective is. If his objective is to win next season, then the Sixers have a spot and a team that fits him. I mean, from a basketball perspective, of course I want LeBron James. Zach is in Princeton. What's up, Zach?
Hey, what's up, guys? First-time caller. I was just hoping to give my input on this trade. And I think from a value perspective and, like, why we're all so excited about this is that when you look at it at face value, it looks like we just absolutely fleeced the Celtics, which is true. It's absolutely true, but my concern and why I think we should be cautiously optimistic is it feels like having all these ball-dominant players with Maxey, with Brown, with Embiid, even Edgecombe last year liked having the ball in his hands, but he's going to have to play a different role. We're going to need players to make sacrifices of some sort to make this all work together. And I just, like, when I look at the last four teams that won
a championship being Denver, OKC, Boston, and the Knicks, they were all kind of comprised of complementary pieces around a star or two. And it feels like, especially with Embiid slowing down Maxey and, you know, some of the analytics with Brown in Boston is that when he was on the floor, they were worse these past couple of years. So I'm excited from a value perspective. I get to be delusional again as a fan, but I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on the fit with all these ball-dominant players together and, like, how likely you think it is that these guys are willing to make sacrifices for the greater good of the team.
It's a good, Zach, I think it's a good question, and I think you're right about the way the NBA has went. Zach, we appreciate the call. Call again. He's not wrong in the way the league has moved, right? It's moved away from two or three dominant, ball-dominant stars
it's
and
more
then
of a,
scrubs.
Team.
More of team basketball.
Team basketball.
Let's just go to the team that most recently won a few weeks ago, the Knicks, right? The whole thing revolves around Brunson, and then everyone else just kind of does their – plays their little role.
But there were other elements and aspects of that team that made it go.
Yeah, but those guys understood their role as Brunson's going to get the ball and have the ball 40 or 50% of the time, and you get your shots when you get them. I think what he's saying is Maxey is now used to having a big role. Brown just had a year where he was the sun and the moon and the stars of the Celtics, and obviously Joel has been the main guy for a lot of years. So if it's going to work, and I think it will, someone has to sacrifice, right? There's not enough shots for them all to have as many as they've had at their peak. But look, it can work. I mean, basketball history is littered with these kind of teams. Now, this era is a little different, but littered with these kind of, I mean, when the Heat were put together, right? LeBron was his own team. Mm-hmm. Wade was his own team. Bosch was his own team, and they sacrificed. Bosch was the one that sacrificed the most. You go back in the day when the Rockets put together, you know, Barkley going with Drexler and Olajuwon. Like, there's many examples of teams having superstars, and they sacrifice for the greater good. So it can happen. There probably will be an adjustment period.
I look at it like this because of what I've seen in the past with the Sixers. Maxey does a good job, in my opinion, of adjusting to whatever's asked of him. I don't think he's in a position right now, even though he is a star, he's a rising star, him or VJ, I don't think they're in a position right now where they feel like they could say, well, hey, this is my squad. I think, to be honest, coming in, out the gate, this is Jaylen Brown's squad now. I think when you talk about how decorated he is, he has the hardware, and he's a guy that I feel like with the ball in his hand, he's going to make everybody else better. Because you talk about Maxey and last year, how he was leading the league in minutes played. Now you have another player on the court that takes some of that pressure off of Maxey. He can still do his thing, but he doesn't have that kind of pressure because I feel like in listening to Spike and Ike and those guys, shout out to the afternoon show, talking about him, it was one of those things where he had moments where he had the lead and he just couldn't get the job done. Now you got somebody that – now you got Batman. Because I guess in this iteration of the Sixers, he was more Nightwing than Batman. You know what I mean? Nightwing was cool. Nightwing got the job done. See, I'm trying – for all my DC comic nerds out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Nightwing was a pretty good fighter. He grew up – he was Robin at one time. Uh-huh. He grew up and he became, you know, his own thing.
Right.
But he wasn't Batman. You know what I mean? So now we got Batman. Yep. We got Batman and Nightwing. And then we got VJ. He can be Robin. You know what I mean? So now we got some people. Max gets it. Max knows what I'm talking about.
I do think the VJ as Robin thing that works. It's young.
Yeah, Maxey's Nightwing.
Joel?
Joel. Never mind. I'm gonna keep that one to myself.
Okay. I thought you had another.
I did.
Batman
I did.
Character.
But I'm gonna leave it. I'm gonna leave that.
Okay. 215-592-9494. Let's go to Will in the Northeast. What's up, Will?
Dream team, how y'all doing, baby?
Will, what's up?
I'm pretty happy right now, man. Listen, you done went to the team that knocked y'all out in the playoffs. That was a great pickup, man. I just want to say this. I'm cool with the pitch that we gave off because we still own the 2029 top three protected, you know, trade with the picks with the Clippers. So we pretty good on that tip, right?
So I was trying to read through how this is going to work. That 28 pick, it could end up being the Clippers pick. It's going to be, I think Boston gets to pick the better of the Clippers pick or our pick that year. So we probably gave away the Clippers pick. But, I mean, if you're going to give away that pick, you want to get a player like Brown back. So I'm okay with it.
Right. Me too. And I just want to say this. Listen, Josh Harris. You got the bread, baby. go ahead and go after LeBron. Because if you got LeBron, you got Maxey, you got Brown, Dean Wade, and B ain't going to have no choice but to play down low now. Because we're going to have shooters. So maybe that will make him go back in the paint and stay in the paint. You know what I'm saying? And I just want to say, man, these two guys, and I think all our teams, man, when they change the GMs and everything, man, these guys coming in knowing what the team needs and going right after them and getting them, man. And this is what I'm loving about all our Philly teams, man. All of them is doing and making the changes that they need to be made to make our teams better, man. And I'm loving all the Philadelphia teams. And guess what, man? This was a big pickup. And I love Brown being here. And guess what? Anytime we play the Celtics, you know he going straight in and cooking them. So
well, that's a really good point. I mean, Hugh and Will, good phone call. We're gonna get a highly motivated player. We're talking about a guy that gave the Celtics basically a decade of really good basketball, won a Finals MVP, and they traded him to a rival. Like Jaylen Brown strikes me as someone who probably takes criticism to heart, probably kind of channels when people doubt him. It seems like that's kind of his personality. We're going to get a very motivated player. Like to me, he's going to come here and try to shove it to the Celtics. Like you didn't just trade me. You traded me to the Sixers.
Yeah. I mean, that's the crazy part about it. You don't trade a good player in the division. You know, and then to your immediate rival.
Who just beat you in the playoffs.
Yeah, yeah.
The only time you do that, I mean, when you said that, the first thing I thought of was Donovan, right? But the Eagles had a feeling Donovan was about to be done, and they were right. Like, you're right. You typically don't see players in their prime traded within their own division. It's very rare. I mean, let alone their own, you know, conference, but the division even more on top of it. Giancarlo's in Sicklerville. What's up, Giancarlo?
How's it going, you guys? How's your guys' morning?
We're doing well. I mean, Jaylen Brown is a Sixer. Giancarlo, what do you think about it?
Jaylen Brown is a Philadelphia 7. Oh, I love it. I mean, you get rid of that Paul George contract for essentially what? You give up a first-round pick since what did Bobby Marks say? We were going to have to give up a first anyway to get off that Paul George deal. And I just saw something just recently that the original asking price for the Celtics was 5 first-round picks, Paul George, and VJ Edgecombe for Jaylen Brown. I just got to give credit to Mike Gansey, like to be able to stick with the negotiations and bring that price down, like all credit to him. What do you guys think of him as his first month on the job and impressive resume so far?
I would say, Giancarlo, if I'm giving him a grade for his first month, it's an A. I mean,
he moved the meter.
I like the draft pick of Filon, and we'll see what he becomes.
Filon,
he's a kid. Filon. But this trade, you're right, Filon. Giancarlo. To go from that asking price, Hugh, to go from, hey, if you want Jaylen Brown, it's VJ and all these picks, and we'll just keep George in there for the salary swap. To get it down to this, Hugh, that's an incredible job by Mike.
Yeah, no question about it. And to stick with it, like they were talking about how you stuck with it and you still were making phone calls and you were just making sure that, you know, everything was cool, and then it just worked out in your favor.
Yeah, Giancarlo, good phone call. Hugh, the other thing I think about is sometimes aggressiveness wins in sports. Sometimes patience wins, right? Like, patience can win, and I think it
won. Stall them out, Debo.
Well, think about this. Think about all the other teams that made moves in the last couple weeks, right? This is the time the NBA things move fast. You know, LaMelo Ball, right? The Timberwolves traded for LaMelo Ball, right? So that took them basically out of this kind of thing because they used all their assets on that player.
Mm-hmm.
There is a time to be aggressive, but if you wait everybody else out and everybody else spends all their money or all their assets, their picks, whatever, you might be the only one left at the table. Like, I wonder if the Sixers looked around and were like, how many offers do the Celtics have? Like, they could kind of look at the league and kind of see, all right, that team used all their picks here. That team's capped out. Maybe Gansey and Bob Myers were like, they don't have a better offer. Let's just leave it at this. Leave it at Paul George and the picks and see what they say.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I just thought about something. That's just like, you know, a bad analogy. Like, at the end of the night, the person at the end of the bar, last person there, be like, hey, you ain't going to do no better than what you're doing right now.
You have no other option.
You got to go ahead and do what you got to do.
Now, why that person has no other option,
I don't know. But it's the only option you got left.
And maybe you don't even want to know.
Yeah, you don't want to know. But it's like, you know, at least you know you ain't going home by yourself.
Well, I played with guys.
That was good timing. Our Twitter question sponsored by the PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and
be
schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com. Well, you actually won't be here all week.
No, we about to, like, today, we kind of mailing it in a little bit.
No, mailing it in?
It's an easy show.
Speak for yourself, bud.
It's an easy show.
Well, speaking of, it's not mailing in. It's actually, it's not just an easy show, and it's a fun show.
He said speak for yourself. Kyle, you sound like you banged up already. Stop it.
Huh?
Nah. Kyle's working tomorrow.
I'm working tomorrow, dude.
Is it the Kyle and Buzz show tomorrow?
That's right.
Oh, that should be awesome.
Uh-oh. All right. Let's get to our Twitter question.
You guys going
to
call in?
I will. It might not be coherent, but I'll call in.
All the better.
At 10 a.m.?
Yeah, it might, you know.
Well, yeah, 10 a.m. should be fine. Maybe by 2 p.m. Get that call in early. I know.
Well, you're always very coherent. We're on the air anyway. So.
Every day.
Those, I can't.
All right, what's your reaction to the Jaylen Brown trade? Hugh, four options. Love it. Like it. Skeptical. Don't like it.
Love it. 100%.
No, there's nothing ever 100% with our audience. 78% love it. 11% like it. 9% live in that just have to doubt something world.
Well,
skeptical.
That's kind of like you were there a little bit this morning.
I'll say this. 90% of me is just thrilled.
Hey, okay, what happened? What's wrong with it?
10% of me is like, well, wait.
Wait a minute. What's wrong with it?
Why? You know, like, 10% of me wonders if he's going to show up to the press conference in a cast next week. And, like, there's something about
it. It's going
to
be like, I knew it. You're going to be like, I knew it. I knew it. Yeah. I knew it.
I'm in, like, the what's the catch camp, too. But here's the thing. I don't even really care if it doesn't work out. Like, I'm just glad that our front office finally did something outside the box, like creative, something like stunning and fun. Like, I don't know. Like, I think maybe I'm just at that spot with the Sixers where I'm just glad that I have something to be excited about.
So what you just said, I think our last caller was mentioned, like, almost the pros and the cons. Mm-hmm. When you think about the price, even if you do wonder, like, hey, maybe the numbers said he wasn't quite as great as the perceptions. Okay. Maybe he has played a lot of minutes and he's about to be 30. All right, maybe his next 5 years won't be all-NBA, but just rather good, all-star-ish.
Yeah.
Hugh, even if all those things are true, like even if there is some reason to have some skepticism about his next 4 or 5 years, you still make the trade, right? Like, think about what they traded. This isn't them giving up their next 6 first-round picks. They didn't give up VJ. Then it would have been more of like a, hold on.
What are we doing?
Are we sure we want to do this? It's Paul George and a couple first-round picks. Like, even Kyle with the fair skepticism or fair questions, it's still a good trade.
Yeah, and not only that, you also have your young guys that can still grow. You still have a young core.
Well, you did. I mean, the fact that VJ, like, if you had told me they got Jaylen Brown this offseason, if you said that to me 2 weeks ago, Joe, they're getting Jaylen Brown, I would have said that meant they traded VJ, right?
Like, somebody going.
I wouldn't have anticipated they could have gotten him without that. David in Westchester's up. What's up, David?
Joe, I love it. 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 Boston sucks. They're incompetent. They're idiots. I love this. I can't believe it. I didn't believe it when I saw it. Had to research it. They have made the Sixers relevant in one move. They went from a fallen star to a shooting star, and this is phenomenal news for this organization. It's made them relevant in Philadelphia sports, and I don't see a downside unless he got mauled by a lion on a safari that we don't know about, and I don't think that happened.
Yeah, barring that, it's an incredible trade. When was the last time, David, we said all these things about the Sixers? Smart, forward-thinking, they nailed it. Like, this doesn't happen very often with this team.
I don't remember ever, I don't think. Like, I was waiting for 5 years before I really started investing back into Sixers because I was like, it's going to take that long to get the hinky trash out. And now all of a sudden it's like, geez, they did it in one move, you know? So this is, I mean, I don't see where this is going could end badly. And now they got to get LeBron, and they should call LeBron up and say, hey, buddy, we'll take Bronny too. He'll look good as a blue coat. And you take Bronny, you'll definitely get LeBron.
You know what? David, there are crazier thoughts than swapping a second-round pick to the Lakers right now for Bronny to entice LeBron to come. I mean, now we're starting to think.
We're doing the most. Well, that is great. No, I'm not against it.
What's
I'm not
the worst that happens? Bronny sits on the bench all year?
No, I'm not against it. I'm just saying. That's crazy. But, I mean, you know, that's the position you're in because, you know, you're talking about
in for a penny, in for a pound. Let's go.
Contention, yeah.
Let's go. All right, 215-592-9494. Plus, it'd be fun to see how upset Kyle got if they traded a pick for Bronny just to entice LeBron to come. I mean, that to me would be funny. All your phone calls coming up. We'll get to everyone. Also, we have to get to Philly's won last night. Great night for Trey Turner, who is on fire now. Zach Wheeler, not his best night, a shorter start. And boy, he was not happy with the manager, with Don Mattingly, after the game. We'll let you hear what happened with those two last night when Wheeler was pulled. All your phone calls on Jaylen Brown. Plus, you know what we got to do right now? It's a shorter show, so we got to give away right now for you. We have a pair of tickets to the HBCU.
Too close?
No. Not today.
You wish, bud.
The vibe of this show is too good to throw Hughes Clues in there today. On a holiday? Come on now. All right.
Rent free.
We have a pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic coming up Friday, July 10th, a week from tomorrow, right here at Citizens Bank Park, 7 p.m. is the game. We're going to send you there. Caller number two right now to 445-544-8300. Caller number two, 445-544-8300 wins the pair of tickets to the HBCU Swingman Classic. All your calls on Jalen Brown, and we'll get to the Mattingly and Wheeler thing as well. Midday Show live from Citizens Bank Park on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I got a PSA for everybody. You know when you got that notification on your phone that Jalen Brown just got traded to the Sixers for Paul freaking George and how extremely happy you were? That's going to be how happy you are when you upgrade your yard with Turf Tech. And even though it's hot as hell outside today, you're still probably going to want to slip outside just to admire and soak in that beautiful Turf Tech lawn. What is Turf Tech, you ask? Well, that's the Delaware Valley's leader in premium artificial grass. It's realistic, low-maintenance turf for homes, pet areas, playgrounds, and commercial spaces. Homeowners, contractors, landscapers can shop premium turf with competitive pricing and fast pickup or delivery. Visit turftech.com. That's TURFTEK.com. Turf Tech, happiness starts from the ground up.